I was asked by the board, and in fact, I promised the board that I would take this Sunday to say something about seeing and about mission and ministry in the church. Now, if you're a guest, and we have some who are guests, what I say today can be applied to your home church if you have one. I'm going to be talking a little bit about our church, but you can pretty much take notes and take it back. But before I do that, let's do this. I want to tell you to live fearless. Just do it. Think different. Because you're worth it. Tastes so good, cats ask for it by name. And I'm loving it. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. And there are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's what? MasterCard. Exactly right. All of those things are taglines. They're taglines of corporations and companies and also in America. And they are some of the most marketable and some of the best taglines in the past decade. A tagline simply is a short catchphrase that tells you exactly who the company is and, even more important, what they're about, what their mission is, or what they're selling, what product they have. And to put it in church speak, taglines are many mission statements. That's what they are. And like all good mission statements, they are succinct. They are few in words, but enough to tell you the heart and soul of the company and so that you know exactly what their purpose is. Now, for example, let's just have an example. This is one of the top 25 taglines in America in the past decade. This one actually is less than 10 years old. Are you ready? America runs on Duncan. Who is Duncan? Who is Duncan? Duncan what? Duncan Donuts. And I'm not going to ask you to speak it out, but if I were to ask you to speak it out, what is Duncan Donuts? America runs on Dunkin's. What are they trying to convey about who they are and what their purpose is? And for me, what they're essentially saying, because I know their number one competition is Starbucks. And what they're saying is, right, Darlene? That's really speaking to Starbucks. And so what they're saying is America's premier coffee and the place to go for a cup of Joe is Dunkin' Donuts. We are America's premier company. We run, America runs on Dunkin' Donuts. And they want you to know, in addition, that you can count on them as a quality place to get product, namely donuts and a cup of Joe. All right? It's what they do. It's what they live for. It's what they're good at. It's what they're called to do, okay? America runs on Dunkin'. It would be stupid for them to have the tagline, eat more chicken, right? It would be. They don't make chicken. They're not called to make chicken. They're called to brew coffee. Who does want you to eat more chicken? Chick-fil-A. And basically, when they tell you to eat more chicken and they have those cows on the billboards doing this, what they are cleverly doing is saying, for all things chicken, come here. Because Chick-fil-A has it. It's what they do. It's what they live for. It's what they're good at. It is, listen, it is unique to them. Of all of the burger places and the taco place, we sell chicken, we compete with the other guy. He's a colonel. What's his name? Sanders, Arlen Sanders. Exactly right. Okay. Have you ever thought about what's unique to our church, the Chambersburg Church of the Brethren? And this is where, if you're a guest today, you can plug it into your situation. What's unique to you? What's your purpose? What's your goal? What are you about? What are we about? What are we good at? When people say the name or hear the name Chambersburg Church of the Brethren, what's the first thing that comes to their mind? It may not be good. It may be excellent. What's the first thing? What's our purpose? Do we know what it is? As I said, I'm on assignment today, and my assignment is to talk about vision and ministry. And if you were to go to the Bible and find the go-to scripture for vision, it's Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18, which says in the New International Vision, or version, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, where there is no sight, the people perish. Or the people cast off restraint. The people cast off restraint. Now, I looked at just about all of the versions, not all, but a lot of them, and I really like what's at the top of the bulletin, Proverbs 29:18 from the Message, the way I want to preach from it today, which essentially says it the same way, but a little bit longer, and Eugene Peterson says it this way. If people can't see what God is doing where there is no vision, they can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. In other words, they lack focus. They lack the focus and they accomplish nothing if they can't see where they're going. But, Peterson says, when they become attentive to what God reveals to them, they are most blessed. When their attention is on what God's revealing, that's when they're a blessed church, a blessed people. I was thinking about where did Jesus deal with seeing and non-seeing people? And my mind took me, there's a lot of places in the Gospels, but my mind took me to two stories in the book of Mark. And the first story, and I think there are five things we can get out of these stories that Liz read and to tell us a little bit about seeing. The first story is Mark 8, and that's where Jesus and his disciples are in a little town called Bethsaida. And when he comes into the community of Bethsaida, the townspeople bring him a man who is sightless. He is blind for a little God revelation. They want some God revelation. And they believe Jesus can give it to him. They believe that Jesus can give this man his sight. Now, as I was reading this text on Thursday when I wrote the sermon, I thought to myself, okay, now what's the first thing Jesus does? And the first thing Jesus does is he takes this man and leads him outside of the community. And a revelation went into my heart, and I thought, you know, when we talk about seeing and having the vision of God, we are never going to have the vision of God, and we are never going to be able to see clearly unless and until we're willing to be led. And I guess that's the first point that I want to make about vision. You have to be willing to be led. And not only be led, point number two, this guy who is blind, he cannot see. He never met Jesus, so he doesn't know him very well. Jesus, I'm going to assume, because he's blind, says, hold my shoulder or take my hand. And he leads him away from his family, away from the familiar place. And for a blind man, that had to take a tremendous amount of trust. It's like I read a story once, a biography of a man who walked the entire Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine, and he was blind, and he did it with his guide dog, who was a German shepherd, and I'm thinking that took an awful lot of trust, and it took a lot of faith. I think it was evangelist D.L. Moody who said that the world has yet to see what God can accomplish in the life of one person who is totally surrendered to him. The world has yet to see what God can accomplish in the life of one person who is totally surrendered to him. And I would like to say, parenthetically, the world has yet to see what God will accomplish in the life of one church who is totally surrendered, who is willing to be led, who is willing to trust the Lord to a significant level that they will go wherever the Lord is taking them. Anytime we talk about vision or mission in the church, we listen, we always have to discern and ask the question, who's leading this ship? And for the church, the answer better be the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the pastor, not the board, not the wealthy person who gives the bucks to the budget. No, the Lord Jesus Christ and the vision that God has specifically for you. And we need to ask, who leads the church? And number two, do I trust him? And will I go with him wherever he's taken? Jesus leads this man outside the village. Another reason for that. It seems to me he led this man away from distraction, away from his friends. Now, why in the world did he do that? And that bothered me. That made this man vulnerable. But then I thought to myself, now, wait a minute. You see, this is God's vision. What's going to happen is God's vision for this man. uniquely for him. God has a different vision for the people back in the town. I'm sure, let's be fair, they have a vision for what he ought to be doing. But this is God's unique vision, God's unique version for him, and Jesus takes him away in order for him to be able to be completely, thoroughly focused on that. I get frustrated when I lead a church, and I'm not talking about you. I'm not, so you don't need to get mad or feel your toes are tamped on. I get frustrated with churches whose big focus is on what their neighbors are doing. And by that I mean we need to be just like them. So St. Paul's Church has 100 kids come in a youth group, and we say, that's what we need to do. We need to work on youth. Well, maybe God's vision for St. Paul's is youth and youth ministry. Maybe God has so equipped them for that. Or First Church of God. They're in the small groups. My, somebody told me they have 35 small groups and the church is just busting at the seams. They're ready to build again. And we said, that's what we need. We need small groups. Well, maybe we do. Maybe we do. But on the other hand, maybe they have a pastor who has the passion for that and the skill for that. And that is what God's calling them to do, and not necessarily what God is calling First Church of Peter or Paul to do. God's vision is God's vision for us. And we need to ask the Lord and let the Lord lead us to the unique vision. It would be stupid, I already said this, for Dunkin' Donuts to say, geez, we're not making chicken. We need to make chicken. It's not what they do. They'll fail. They're equipped for another unique vision that somebody along the way said. And I remember when Dunkin' Donuts was all but bankrupt. I remember when they were closing Dunkin' Donuts instead of building them everywhere you look. Somebody had vision. What was that vision again? To make Dunkin' Donuts brand coffee the premier coffee of the United States of America. And they're working on it, and they're doing it, okay? We need to ask God to equip us with the vision that is unique to us. And so, Jesus takes this man out to get his vision. And I'm still in Mark 8. I'm going to go to Mark 10 in just a minute. And he lays his hands on him, and literally he spits in his eye. That's a bad way to get healed, but it's the way Jesus did it. And Jesus said, do you see anything? He was healed, sort of. He said, I see trees, people, but they look like trees. They look like trees walking around. Now, of all of the gospel stories where Jesus did a miracle, this is the only one that appears like he whiffed it. Do you see anything? Well, yeah, I see trees walking around. Now, if this man had been blind from birth, seeing trees is better than seeing nothing at all. But Mark's point of this story in telling Jesus and the day that he whiffed it is not that he whiffed it at all. It's that good sight is not good enough. Just to have sight is not good enough. It's being able what God wants for us to see clearly. And what it tells us is that the Lord will continue to work with us and refine us and tweak us until we get to the point where we truly see, this is what we're about. And this is what we're called to do. Proverbs 29:18, if the people cannot see clearly, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what God is revealing, they will be blessed. So two chapters later, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he's going through Jericho. There's a man sitting on the road to Jericho. Jericho is a major trade route and a major traveling route to go to Jerusalem. And he's there deliberately because he's blind. Because he can't see, he has to beg. What better place to be begging than when people are going to be going? The ones that are going to Jerusalem, they're there. And so he's making his living by begging for a living on the road to Jericho. When he hears a commotion, he's listening. He's just not seeing. When he hears a commotion and he realizes it's Jesus, he cries out. You see, I'm in Mark 10. And he says, Jesus, have mercy on me. Now the passersby and the town people advise him to be satisfied with what he's got. Just be satisfied with status quo. And that's not good enough for him. And he cries out, it says, all the louder, all the louder. I want to say that God's revelation will always come. And in fact, only comes whenever his people cry out to him and ask for it. James' brother Jesus said, you don't have because you didn't ask. You don't have because you didn't ask. Face to face with Jesus, Jesus comes and gives him an audience. This guy asks to receive his sight. You say, well, sure, he was blind. Of course he wants his sight. Well, maybe not necessarily. Maybe he wanted money. Maybe he wanted friends. Maybe he didn't want to have to beg anymore. Maybe he wanted a place to live. Maybe he wanted a lot of things. But what was most important to him is he wanted to see above all. Now I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to you. I feel badly for pastors like myself who do not cry out for God to give a vision of where the church is to be going, but assume that they know better and assume that they have the answers. How can a church, if a church, it says in Proverbs 29:11, if the people are attentive to what God is revealing, they will be blessed. How can people expect to be blessed if they're not crying out and asking for revelation? So, Joel, why are you telling us these things? Well, again, if you're a guest, you can apply this to your own situation. But in our situation, at the top of the bulletin every Sunday are the following two sentences. Enabling our church family to know and live the Christian way of life as revealed in Christ. That's good. Serving the community and the world so that all may experience our love and the love of God. That's good. It was about 5 months ago, and we were in a board meeting, and we were actually talking about what we're going to do with a program that y'all went through, VMJ, Vital Ministry Journey. And we started talking about what we need to be doing, and I said, wait a minute, I want to ask a question, and this is because I don't know. Does our church have a vision, a mission statement? And they said, yeah, it's at the top of the bulletin. And somebody got the bulletin out, and it was like, enabling our church family to know and live the Christian way of life as revealed in Christ and serving the community and the world so that all may experience love. And I said, can anybody say that vision statement without looking at it? Does anybody have it memorized? See, the thing that impresses me about this statement is it's way too long. America runs on Dunkin'. I can memorize that. I know what that means, okay? Eat more chicken. That's plain enough. It's too long. Nobody had it memorized. I said, well, then do you even know what you're about? And then I said, and it's not that I'm right, and I just happened to be leading that night for a little bit. And I said, can you tell me how old this is? And it was Larry Bricker said, I know exactly how old it is because I helped to work on it. He said Floyd Mitchell was the pastor. It was 40 years ago. And I thought later, you know, we've changed a lot in 40 years. This building that we're in right now wasn't even here in 40 years ago. We've changed dramatically. So then the question is it relevant? And we decided right then and there, not that that was a bad statement, because I'm sure in 1975 it was perfect. We decided right then and there, we as a church and we as a board, mostly as a board, we need to cry out. And we need to pray and we need to say, hey, show us. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. We want to see. We want to see you. We needed to cry out. It was time to be led. We needed to be led, and we needed to trust the Lord in his leading. And so what we asked people to do in the board was, we want you to go home, I want you to pray about this, I want you to look at our old mission statement, and I want you to look at where we are as a church and who we are as a church and gifting and personality and what we're doing and what people say about us, and come back with a suggestion of what would be our tagline. That's what we asked. Just come back with a suggestion of a tagline. And the next month when we met, we had about 8 suggestions. People took it seriously, and some people couldn't come up with anything. Other people came up with 2 things. But we looked at them, and we prayed about them, and we decided that there were 2 of them that stuck out that are possibilities. 2 of them. And they are at the top of your bulletin in no order. I just ordered them 1 and 2, but it's not a matter of preference. The first one is serving others while growing in faith. And if you're serving others while growing in faith, that says the Chambersburg Church of the Brethren is about acts of service. And through those acts of service, we help those coming in the doors to grow a faith. All right? And the second one is equipping the family of God to grow spiritually, mentally, and physically through a Christ-centered life. And what that basically says is we as a church are a family. We're the family of God. We're part of a larger family. And our passion is equipping you to have a Christ-centered life holistically in everything you're doing. That's what it says. That's what it says to me. So that's it. And we decided to bring them to you. And so they're at the top of the bulletin, but they're also in that packet I talked about in the announcements about our council meeting next week. And we're going to look at them as a church. Now, here's what I want you to do, and I'm out of here. This is your homework assignment. I want you to take the next 7 days, and I want you to look at these. If you don't have a packet and you don't have a mailbox, you call the church office and say, send one to me. Joel says I need to see this mission statement. I want you to pray over them. I want you to look at them, and I want you to say, test them. Do they fit? Does it fit? Does one of them fit better than another one? You know, if it were me, could I own this? Could I get my head around it? Could I be passionate about it? And in your prayer, say something like, show us your heart, Lord. Show us the heart and soul of your church. Reveal what your mission is. Help us to see clearly where you are. Help us to know our purpose and our passion. And equip us so that we can get our passions and our hearts around it. And just pray. Proverbs 29:18 says, when we see the vision and become attentive, we will be blessed. When we receive vision and we're attentive to that vision, we will be blessed. I'd like to say one thing in closing, and it's this. Even better than being blessed, whatever being blessed means, whether it means having 700 people in worship or just a closer relationship and fellowship with the Lord himself or a closer relationship with those outside and with each other, a better thing than being blessed is that because we're blessed, we can be a blessing. Okay? Got your homework assignment? Yes? America runs on Duncan. Dear God, thank you. And the church runs on you. And thank you for this time. I just challenge us and help us to get ourselves out of the way this week, and so that we can have some honest time of listening and seeing and say, wow, this really seems to fit. Or, you know what, I'm not sure. I think maybe this seems to fit, or maybe something else seems to fit. Where are you taking us? Who are we? What are we good at? What are we doing? And how are we uniquely called so that we're different? And we're thoroughly equipped in every good work. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful worship and for the attention that was given today to your word. I pray in your name. Amen.